Today we're kicking off a new series called Unsubscribe. Have you ever taken out your phone and looked down and you see that little mail icon and like that number is just a little too high? And I know for some of you, go ahead and put that back, Ethan. And I know for some of you, you kind of like panic just a little bit when you see that number. And you know, so a lot of times we all have this threshold of like what that number specifically is for us. And so some of us are a little bit different. And so when some of you, as soon as you see that 135, like you're already just a little bit uncomfortable and like you're just a little bit panicked already. So we have these different thresholds. And so when my number gets there, what I usually do is I go in and I do a lot of deleting. And I, because it really honestly begins to make me feel nervous. And so when I do that, I go in and I delete some off, and I also go through there and I unsubscribe from some different things. And so everybody's a little bit different. I think that you can break everybody into probably three different groups in this world. And the first group, if you went to your icon, it might look something like this. And some of you, like, you're just, like, in total panic mode as soon as you saw that come on the screen too early. Like, you were really, like, you have just, like, about, I don't know, you're, like, having a panic attack. And some of you, I mean, whoever this is, like, you've already given up. Like, you just decided that the high score wins. I don't really know. And so it's, like, it really doesn't matter to you. And we know who you are because we've seen that number on your phone, and it kind of sends us into that panic mode. But then the second group of people is simply this. It's this one. It's like, I'm only going to let it get so high, and then I'm going to do something about it. As long as it stays just below this point, then I'm good. How many of you would say that this is a group that you would fall into? Several of us. I didn't call anybody out on the first group because I'll just... And then the last group is simply this. It's the inbox zero group. And this is the person, like, as soon as the number shows up, they're going to open their phone, and they're going to open the email, they're going to delete it. It doesn't really matter if they read it or not. They're just going to make sure that there is no number on there whatsoever. And so you usually would most likely fit into one of those three different categories. We all handle this a little bit differently. For me, I probably fall in that second category at this point. Like, I've given up on the zero as much as I would like for it to be zero. Like, I just don't ever seem like I can get it to zero. And so when a number gets to a certain point, I'm like, I have to do something about this. And I'll just block off some time during the day, and I'll go through and hit delete, 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 delete. And then I'll see some, and I'm like, what is this? And I'll open it up, and I'll read through it, and I'm like, unsubscribe. And you know what it usually does? And it unsubscribes that little bitty button that says, that's so small, like sometimes you need a magnifying glass to see it because they don't really want you to be able to see that particular thing. And you click on it, and it says, do you really want to do this? And I'm thinking, if I took the time to find this little bitty button, then yes, I really want to do this. And so I usually will click yes. And then you know what it usually says after that? We're so sorry to see you go. And I'm thinking, look, you've been sending me an email for like 5 years, and I haven't bought anything from you in the first place. You really don't know who I am. I'm not really sure that you're sorry to see me go, and I'll just go ahead and hit and close it out. But when you think about it, I'm sure that you probably do that from time to time too, go through and kind of clean up your email and unsubscribe. But as I was doing that, it really made me stop, and it made me think. Because this is the world that we live in, and we're going through, and we're unsubscribing. But there was a sense of what other things in our life do we really need to unsubscribe from? With all the clutter and all the things that take place and all the things that go on in our life, what is it that we need to unsubscribe from? Are there some relationships that maybe we need to unsubscribe from? Are there some habits in our life that maybe we need to unsubscribe from? Maybe there's these patterns of behavior that are not really serving us well that we need to unsubscribe from. Or maybe there's these lies that you've been believing for far too long that you need to unsubscribe from. And I think a lot of us, as we really stop and think about it, there's some lies that we subscribe to, and we've just kind of came to that realization, like, this is just the way it's going to be. And we kind of convinced ourselves, and we're like, I'm just always going to struggle with this, and there's really not anything that I can do about it. And I want you to stop and think, like, who told you that? Who told you that you couldn't unsubscribe from it? I mean, did God tell you that? Did you tell you that? Did a friend tell you that? And we stop and we really think about it. I mean, when we look at the truth in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17, it says this, that anyone who belongs to Christ has become a new person. The old life is gone and the new life has begun. So what the scripture tells us that in Christ, we become a new person. All those lies and all those things that we used to do and used to believe in, we can change those things. And I think that in our life, and what I want us to think about is, we need to go back to the lie that we've subscribed to, and we need to unsubscribe from it. So I want us to think about that as we go through this series, of just some things maybe that you need to unsubscribe to, and things that you should actually subscribe to. You know, one of the things that's hard for us to unsubscribe from is fear, worry, and anxiety. That is that thing that just kind of keeps coming into your inbox every single day. And it's actually one of those that maybe multiple times a day, you get the same email that just comes in. And you know what we do? We just let that number usually go like to 1,400. Or some of us, we kind of delete it along as we go, but we never really try to unsubscribe from it. So I want you to think just for a minute, what makes you actually panic a little bit? What gives you a little bit of worry? I'm going to put a few things on the screen. I want you to see which one of these causes you the most worry. And you have to choose one or the other. So snakes or spiders, which one of these causes the most anxiety and fear for you? How many of you would actually say snakes? Some of you are already closing your eyes. How many of you would say spiders? There are a few of you. So I was reading this survey, and here's what it actually said on the survey. It said that 60% people say snakes, 40% say spiders. And I know that there's a group of you who are like, that is totally wrong. Like, it's 100% snakes and 100% spiders. And so the next one is simply this. Which one causes you more anxiety, current events or your career? So I want you to think about this one. I won't have you raise your hand on this one. But here's what the survey actually said. 52% current events and 48% your career. Pretty even of the things that causes this anxiety and this worry. And the next one is simply this. Which one of these causes you anxiety and worry? Finances or health? 66% of people said finances. And 34% of people said health. And I read that, I think it kind of gives you a different perspective of the different things that causes us anxiety and fear. And the last one is simply this. Being a good spouse or parent or being alone. See, 47% of people said that being a good parent causes anxiety and fear, where 53% said being alone causes you anxiety and fear. So as you do that, what I really want you to realize is there are so many different things that cause this fear, anxiety, and worry. All the way from the somewhat serious things, like serious snakes, but a whole different thing when you look at your career and alone. And we see all these different things. So what are the things that are causing you worry in your life today? Is it finance? Is it loneliness? Is it a job? Is it career? Is it divorce? Is it health issues? What is it in your life that you just continue just to struggle with? And here's what I've learned when we have our worry. We have different spectrums of how bad it may be. We have this where it's just a little bit of a distraction, where it's just really just totally controls our life. We have this where it's rational fear to this where it's this irrational fear. We have where it's just this low-grade fear and anxiety to where it's this clinical fear and anxiety. And we all have these different things. And sometimes it's one thing that causes it to just go over here and the other thing doesn't cause it to go over here. And a lot of times it can show up as nervousness or it can show up as stress or it can show up as tension. And it shows up at the dinner table when you sit there and you're really not there. Or maybe it shows up at night when you're trying to sleep and you lay down to go to sleep and you're so tired and you're just staring at the ceiling. And there's nothing happening. You're just laying there. When those things happen, it just keeps us awake and it causes us this anxiety and this fear. See, struggling and with anxiety and worry and fear doesn't make you less of a Christian. It makes you human. Every one of us struggle with it. Every one of us, from one scale to the other, at different points in our life, we have this problem. And God knew that we were going to struggle with fear. He knew that we were going to struggle with anxiety. In fact, he said in the scriptures 366 times, "Do not be afraid." That's one for every day of the year, including leap year. He knew that we were going to need it. He knew that we were going to need it. Don't be afraid. That doesn't count the other times where he says, take heart, have courage, peace. So over and over and over again, Jesus is telling us, hey, don't be afraid. Don't let worry, anxiety, and fear control your life. You know, as a parent, why do you usually repeat yourself? Because your kids are not listening or your spouse is not listening? Why do you tell your child that you love them? Because they need to hear it. And I think God says, don't be afraid, over and over again, because we know He knows we need to hear it. And see, the word anxiety at its Latin root means a narrowness or tightness of chest. It's like if you were to run up the stairs, or at least for me, you run up the stairs and you get to the top and you're just kind of out of breath. It's that tightness of chest that you feel when you are experiencing that type of worry and anxiety. And I want us to think about in John chapter 20. And see, the problem becomes when that anxiety and that fear isn't something that just happens occasionally. It's like, that's where we live. That's where our zip code is. That's where we continue to stay. See, in John chapter 20, the disciples, they had just saw Jesus go to the cross. They had seen this whole trial take place. They had seen everything that was happening. They had seen how he was beaten and how he was spit upon. They saw him being crucified on the cross. They saw him be put into the grave. They saw all these different things that were taking place. And you know what they did? They went to a room. They locked the doors. They made sure no one could come in. It was like their panic room, so to speak. They made sure, and they weren't planning on going anywhere because they were afraid of what happened to Jesus was going to happen to them. And that's where we pick up in verse 19. It says, that Sunday evening, the disciples were meeting behind locked doors because they were afraid of the Jewish leaders. Suddenly, Jesus was standing there among them. "Peace be with you," he said. As he spoke, he showed them the wounds in his hands and his side. They were filled with joy when they saw the Lord. Again he said, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, so I am sending you." Then he breathed on them and said, "Receive the Holy Spirit." What I want you to see here is in the scripture that Jesus came to them in their time of fear, anxiety, and worry. And two different times in those five scriptures there, he says, "Peace be with you." You know, when we struggle with those things, it can feel like a lot of times that God is a million miles away. When we see that fear, but in Psalms chapter 34, verse 18, it says this. It says, "The Lord is close to the brokenhearted, and he rescues those whose spirits are crushed." In that moment that we're worried, in that moment that we're stressed out, it says that God is close to us. He's not that million miles away. And I'm so glad that when this was happening with the disciples, like the locked doors, they didn't keep Jesus out. He just kind of showed up in there. It's not like he stood outside and said, "If you'll unlock the doors, I'll come in." He didn't stand outside and say, "Hey, disciples, if you will act like a disciple, then I'll actually come into this room." He knew what they were going through, and he just showed up and said, "Peace be with you." And then it goes on to say there that the disciples, they were overjoyed. That they were overjoyed. I can just imagine the disciples as Jesus just showed up. They're like, "What? Jesus, I know what we just saw a few days ago. I know what was taking place." And what they were overjoyed was they saw Jesus die. They saw that what he was going through. They saw all those different things. But if he beat death, then it gives us the hope to beat death as well. And they saw these different things taking place. And so it says, so the disciples, they were overjoyed. See, they realized death wasn't the worst thing. That living without hope that only Jesus can give is the worst thing. And then it goes on, and it says that Jesus breathed on them. I don't know about you, but I don't really like people breathing on me. Like, you can get close enough, but, you know, if I can feel your breath, like, you're a little in my zone a little too much. But I read this, and at this point, I think our light bulb should go off. I think back to Genesis chapter 1, when God breathed into Adam, and God's exhale was Adam's first inhale. And that God is in our presence with us, and he gives us that comfort still today. And many times we need to hear those words, "Hey, peace be with you." Because what we do is the same thing as the disciples. We lock ourselves in a room. It may not be a physical room most of the time, but if we lock ourselves in, we keep everybody out, we keep everything out, then we think we've got to try to figure this out on our own. And what we need is just let Jesus show up and say, "Hey, peace be still." And what he's saying to the disciples here is, "My spirit inside of you is better than me being right here beside you." And sometimes we need to remember that he is right there with us. And maybe you're thinking, if I could have just been in the room with Jesus, maybe I could understand a little bit more about what the disciples understood. And because, you know, it says that they showed him his hands, showed him his side, like they were able to see everything that took place. If I had just been there, then maybe I could not have all the stress and worry. And I want us to look at a person that wasn't there. In Philippians chapter 4. And see, Paul writes about this peace that he had even in the circumstances that he was in. As we read this, like, look, Paul, he was in prison. I don't think it gets much worse than that. I think we could say, you know what, Paul, if you're going to have a hard time, if you're going to worry, you're going to have anxiety, like, we can give you a pass. Like, you have every right to do. And Philippians chapter 4, verse 4 says, "Rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again, rejoice. Let your greatness be evident to all. The Lord is near. Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus." What Paul is saying is, if you want to unsubscribe to worry, if you want to live in peace, then you have to rejoice in the Lord always. See, this is powerful because worry and worship cannot coexist. And so what we need to do today, if we want to be able to conquer this worry that's in our life, this fear in our life, this anxiety that's in our life, we need to unsubscribe from worry and subscribe to worship. See, worship says, "God, I know you're in control." Fear says, "I don't know what to do next." Worship says, "God, you are good." Fear says, "Everything is terrible." Worship says, "God, you can be trusted." And even though I can't see it, what you're doing right now, see, worship says, "I'm going to trust you anyway." And worship says, God, I know that you have it. And the reality is, almost always when I'm anxious, it's because I'm worrying about what I cannot control. I can try to figure out a way to control it, I guarantee you. I'll try to figure out the answer. I'll spend days and hours trying to figure out something that I can't control. Do you know there's a lot of things we can't control in our life? I mean, we can't control our kids. Let's be honest. Most of you, you can't control your spouse. You can't control your boss. You can't control that teacher. You can't control that coworker. You can't control that coach. And a lot of times when we get worried and anxious, the real things in our life is because we want to control all those different things. We don't want to think that God can handle those things, and we don't want to handle those things over to God. We don't want to put our focus on God. Guess what? Our focus becomes on the teacher, becomes on our coach, becomes on our job, becomes on our kids, and the worship leaves God. Worship begins to take our focus off of those things and puts it back on God. So if we want to fully unsubscribe from worry, then we've got to take our focus on those things and put it back on the God. The same God that just like showed up in a room when the doors are locked and there was no way that he could get in, seemed impossible. The disciples thought they were safe from everybody, like no one even knew where they were at. They were in their best hiding place they could find. And Jesus showed up. That's the God that we actually worship. That's the one that we need to give our attention to. That's the focus where we actually need to be. And so let me ask you, have you ever had someone try to steal your peace? I mean, like this week where you're on the phone with maybe customer service. It didn't take long where your peace was stolen because it didn't really go the way that you really thought it was going to happen. So I want you to think this morning, like, who did you let steal your peace? What did you let steal your peace? I think this morning it's time that we take it back. And we realize that the peace that God gives, because when he came into the room, what did he say? Peace. When he was on the boat and the storm was just raging, what did he say? Peace. That's what he wants us to subscribe to. That's what he wants us to really begin to understand. So we've got to begin taking our fear, focus off fear, and put it back on God. And he goes on to say in that scripture in verse 5, it says, "Lord, the Lord is near." And again, Paul's in prison, and he's all alone. It's not what he planned on with his life. I think it's just another reminder that even when Paul was in prison, he knew that the Lord was near. And I think today, maybe some of us, we just need to be reminded that God is not a million miles away. He's right there with us. He's right there beside you. And he's saying, "Peace, be still." And it goes on to say this, "Do not be anxious about anything." How many of you ever had somebody tell you, just don't worry about it? We know that really doesn't help just to say, don't worry about it. I mean, I want you to think about it this way. A boss, he has a team member that he's working with, and he goes to that team member, his employee, and he says, "Hey, you were about 30 minutes late today." And the employee's like, "Don't worry about it." The next day comes around, and the boss goes to the same employee, goes, like, "Look, you're like 48 hours late on that deadline." The employee goes, "Don't worry about it." Something tells me he didn't have to worry about having a job. But then think about it this way. The employee blows $1 million deal. And the boss goes to him and says, "Hey, don't worry about it. Everything's going to be okay." There's a whole lot of difference between those two things. And we have a God that says, "Hey, don't worry about it. Experience the peace. Trust me. Everything's going to be okay." And see, not only do we need to, if we're going to unsubscribe from worry, do we not only just need to subscribe to worship, but we also need to subscribe to prayer. See, in verse 6 it says, "But in every situation, by prayer and petition." And so the next time that, like the alarm, that you begin to worry on something, that you'll know when we worry, we'll know when we have that anxiety, that we know we're still subscribed to it. Our first instinct should be to worship and to spend time just talking to God about it and actually praying and spending some time with Him. I want you to think for a minute, especially ladies, I know you've had this, but you ever had this like a necklace and it just gets all knotted up? One of the worst things is like that gets all knotted up, and if you try to get it apart, like I'm not very good at it. Like Amy would not ask me to unknot her necklace. It's just not going to happen. Because here's what's going to go through my mind. I'm going to try for a little bit, and I'm going to think, how much did this necklace cost? And how much is it really worth? Because you know what? I'm pretty sure like I could throw this in the trash can and just go buy a new one and not even tell her. It'd be okay. But here's what prayer does. Prayer is God unknotting our soul. And He's taking time and He's getting that knot out. And the time that it takes. And I'm so thankful He didn't just throw us to the side and put us to the side, but He takes His time, and prayer unknots the soul of our life. Prayer is letting God get His hands on your soul and untangle those things that are taking place in your life. It lets Him untangle that worry and that fear and that anxiety. It goes on in there in verse 6, and it says, with thanksgiving. See, what happens when we're actually thankful with something? Again, it takes our focus off worry and fear and anxiety, and it puts us on something that we can actually be thankful for. And so as we're praying, what if we unsubscribed from worry and we subscribe to gratitude? Because there's so many different things that we subscribe to in worry and anxiety and fear. But when we start thinking about the things that we actually have to be thankful for, that list is usually a lot longer than we really give it credit for. And I think a lot of times we take for granted the things that we have to be thankful for. They just happen. I mean, I've driven from Waxahachie to Midlothian more times than I can even count. And I arrive at my home safely. You know what? I don't think nothing about it until yesterday when a car flies in front of us. And it also makes me think about how many other thousands of times have I made that exact same trip that I've arrived safely that I have to be thankful for. And we have so many different things in our life. Sometimes we just need to change our focus from the worry and the fear and the anxiety and just take some time to think, what do I have to be thankful for? What is it? What are those things that God has been doing for me? What is God, ways that God has provided for me? How is He taking care of me? See, if I told you that there was a subscription service similar to like Netflix or Spotify that you could subscribe to every single day and it would give you peace, some of you would be signing up like before you leave, like, what's that website? What's the name of that app? But the truth is, we had that. We just choose to subscribe to worry and fear and anxiety. We choose to let it overwhelm us. We choose to let it have our focus. Paul had every reason to be fearful. He was in prison. He didn't know what was going to happen next. He didn't know if he was going to be killed. He didn't know those things. The disciples, they had every reason to be scared. They had saw what happened to Jesus. I wouldn't want that to happen to me. They locked themselves in a room. They made sure it wasn't going to happen to them. What I want you to understand is Jesus shows up in your inbox and He says, peace, be still. And I think we can learn from Paul. So I ask you this morning, just what have you subscribed to? What do you need to unsubscribe from? Do you need to subscribe to worship? Do you need to subscribe to fear, to prayer? Do you need to subscribe to gratitude? And so today, my prayer is just simply for you to stop and think about this wonderful, powerful God that we serve. The same God that walked through the walls into the room with the disciples. The same God that had just raised from the dead is the same God that we serve. He's bigger than our problems. So my prayer today is that we can begin just to unsubscribe from worry. And we can begin just to put our focus on God. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, I come to you today, dear Lord, just thanking you for all that you do. I pray for those today, dear Lord, that I believe that are in the room, if they're honest, that they're just paralyzed by fear and anxiety and worry. Things in their life, dear Lord, just off the charts. And I lift them up to you today, dear Lord. I pray that they can just experience this peace. I pray that they would just feel your comfort. I would pray that they would just understand how powerful that you really are. I pray that they just feel your arms around them today, dear Lord. I just pray that you'd help us all just change our focus. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. If you'll stand with us, we're going to have just a time of worship. As we sing, maybe you don't have a relationship with Jesus. And maybe you just need to give your life to Him so that He can come in and He can begin to give you that peace that you need. Maybe for you, you subscribe to a lot of different things in your life and you just need to start unsubscribing from some things. And you need to subscribe to that peace and you need to subscribe to that worship and you need to subscribe to that prayer and that gratitude. If there's a way that I can be praying for you, I'll be standing at the back. But let's worship. Thank you.